with John's help, allow me to show you a painting. It's called The Scream, or others call it The Cry. It's by Norwegian expressionist artist Edvard Munch of the late 1800s. It is certainly one of the most iconic, powerful, and unnerving rendering of human anxiety and fear and despair. There's something about this painting, well, it's not too clear here, but something about this painting that touches the subconscious, that stirs up anxiety and fear. I would like you to keep in mind this image as you hear once again today's responsorial psalm's first line. It's Psalm 130, and it goes like this. Out of the depth I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. As a young altar boy serving at funerals in my home parish in Italy, I actually had learned this psalm by memory in Latin. De profundis clamavi a te Domine, Domine exaudi voce mea. De profundis, out of the depth I cry to you, O Lord. Cornel West, an African-American philosopher, calls it the guttural cry of humanity. Humanity, all of us, maybe silently, but we all have this cry coming up from our soul. We cry to the Lord. We scream to the Lord. I have heard this cry many times. Just yesterday, I received a very sad news. A young boy who used to be my altar server in New York, he died 22 years old in a car accident. And his mother, Solange, she was soft-spoken. She did not scream. She did not raise her voice, but I heard the cry, very loud, very deep. Sometimes I hear that cry coming out, coming up from within me, deep inside. Martha and Mary in today's gospel, they cried out to the Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Can you hear the cry in their voices? 2 weeks ago, if you remember, the woman at the well, her silent cry was heard by Jesus. She was a woman of ill repute. She had been looking for love in all the wrong places. And now she meets Jesus. He hears the cry of the poor and gives her living water. Jesus says, I am the living water. Now, when you hear the words, I am, remember that these are very powerful words in the Bible. It's the name of God. When Moses asked God to reveal his name in the book of Exodus, God answered, I am. And Jesus says, I am living water. The following Sunday, a week ago, we heard once again the Lord paying attention to the cry, the silent cry of a blind man. He opened his eyes and also allowed him to see with the eyes of faith and said, I am the light of the world. In today's gospel, Jesus once again reveals himself. He raises Lazarus from the dead and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Can you hear the cry in their voices? John Newton is famously the composer of one of the best known hymns of all history, Amazing Grace. He experienced this encounter when the Lord heard his cry. John Newton was born in London in the early 1700s. He was the son of a devout Christian mother And his father was a merchant ship captain. Unfortunately, John's mother died when he was still a boy, and so he spent many years at sea with his father and lived a wretched life. He kept moving from job to job because of his unruly behavior. He joined the Royal Marine, but deserted, was captured, did some time in jail, was beaten. Finally, he ended up in a slave ship. He became a slave merchant. So can you think of anything lower than that? One day, his ship encountered a tremendous, incredible tempest, storm. He felt he was about to die. The ship was about to sink, and felt shame and despair for the life he had lived up until that moment. And in that despair, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy upon us." It was the beginning of his conversion. A wretch found amazing grace and was changed, was transformed. He was lost, just like the Samaritan woman. He was blind, just like the blind man from last week. He could have said, "I was dead," or almost about to die, "but now I live." Today's readings, all of them, focus on this theme of death and life and resurrection. You heard the amazing reading from the prophet Ezekiel. He has a vision, God opening graves. And he tells the people of Israel, "You will know the Lord when he opens your grave." It's a very graphic, almost morbid vision. In the second reading, Paul writes to the Romans. Keep in mind, the Romans were being put to death every day because of their faith, persecuted by the Roman Empire. And to them he says, "If you have the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead, that spirit will raise your mortal bodies as well." And in the gospel, we hear the story of this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, very close friends of Jesus, intimate friends. It's the only time we hear that Jesus cried. He shed tears. Well, there are other passages in the gospel where Jesus cried over Jerusalem and so forth, but this is really the only time we hear Jesus crying for someone. It reminds me of that beautiful, powerful scene in the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. When Jesus expires on the cross, there's one single drop falling from heaven and splashing on the rocks and causing an earthquake. It's a tear, God's tear, God crying. The Lord cries with us and for us. I'm sure that God shed a tear yesterday for my friend Pedro, who died in a car accident. The Lord cried for Lazarus. But then he asked from Martha and Mary a profession of faith, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life?" And she said, "I do believe." You know, we too die. We will die one day, but we die a little every day. You know, we face every day mortification. The very word mortification has its root in the word, in the Latin word mortem, death. We are mortified daily. We die a little daily. And we too need someone to take us out of our graves. Not just the final grave, the resting place of our body, but the graves that we are ensnared in every day. But the question is, Do we believe? The Lord asks us a very specific question, just like he did to Martha. Do you believe? She said, yes. And he opened the grave of Lazarus. He fulfilled that vision that we heard of in the first reading, the book of Ezekiel. You know, when I was a child, I was terrified. Terrified of cemeteries, graveyards. I could not go. I know that remember my parents asking me to go visit the tomb of my grandparents. I couldn't. I would panic. But also, when I was a child, I had a hobby. I loved searching for mushrooms. You know, I love risotto. And I make risotto with porcini mushrooms to die for. So I would go walk around the woods searching for porcini mushrooms or chiodini or whatever. And one day I remember I lost track of time. I was so caught up in the frenzy of finding mushrooms that I did not realize it was getting dark. And I was lost. Until one point I found myself facing this very large, long wall. What is this? I walked around it, turned a corner, walked some more, turned another corner, found myself right at the entrance of the cemetery. And it was dusk. It was getting dark. I ran home so fast that my brother thought I saw a ghost. Well, years later, in 89, I was a seminarian, and I went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We visited the Church of Anastasis, the Church of the Resurrection, where the Holy Sepulchre is. And a friend of mine, another seminarian, Franciscan, helped us sneak into that church early in the morning when other tourists were not yet allowed in. So I had the Holy Sepulchre all for myself. I went in, knelt, put my hands, my head, on the stone where Jesus' body had been laid. And there I was, I who used to be so scared of cemetery, I was actually in a tomb, within a tomb. And I felt totally at peace because Jesus is resurrection and life. But now the question is for us. Jesus asked Mary, do you believe? It's a very personal, direct question. Do you believe? We cannot answer by quoting what they taught us. Oh, you know, my parents taught me, in church they say that. These kind of answers don't work at this moment. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And this question today is a question that we pose in a particular way to our catechumens, to those preparing for the sacrament of Christian initiation in just a couple of weeks. Because through the sacrament of Christian initiation, in a way, we enter the tomb of our sinfulness and await for the Lord to open our graves and take us out to new life. So right now, I would like to invite our catechumens, our elect, to please come forward, to stand here by the altar so that we may give them the last scrutiny, pray over them, and prepare them for the sacrament of Christian initiation. I ask you all to please stand.